Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-T. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
It's a weird day. I don't know if you're without power, if you're listening to this show on your phone, or if you're driving, you're working. I want to know where you are. I want to know what's going on. I want to know what you see. 503-417-7575. Tell me what you're dealing with out there. I mentioned that the power at our house has been out since Friday. It's still out. I had to set up this radio show with the help of engineers in a hotel near the Bridgeport Village Shopping Center. I got a great view of the I-5 here. I want to thank the good people at the Grand Hotel right here in Tualatin. Don't rubberneck and look over as you're driving if you're on I-5 now. I want you just to drive safely and leave some distance in front of you and act like there could be ice or snow on the ground. I want to know what you're going through, though. What's happening in your world? I'll tell you one of the things I'm concerned about. Both of my youngest daughters got fish for Christmas. And yeah, if you've ever had your kid get fish for Christmas, you understand how troubling that can be. I kept trying to keep the tanks of the fish warm. I was putting warm water in, cycling cold water out. I was like, what am I doing here? Is it possible for the fish to freeze to death? I think it is. They get stressed out. But I was dealing with that on Sunday. Everybody's stepping up and trying to lend a hand to neighbors. I like that. I think that sets Oregonians apart. I do think you're different. I think you're more connected to each other than other people in other parts of the country. Neil Lomax, former Portland State great. I should just say Portland State great. He's, you know, not former. Former NFL quarterback joining us. Neil Lomax, what's the scene in your neighborhood?
Hey, we're still alive. Hey, John, sorry for the tardiness. Don't find me. I would have fined $1,000 if I was still in the NFL, so that's good. No fines. You know, I got the chainsaw. We're pretty bad out here. I'm on, you know, Wilsonville area, so Stafford Road, you know, heading out past Marine Park Hospital towards Wilsonville High School.
Yeah.
Ton of trees. We probably won't have power for another 24, 48 hours. I've already helped my neighbor. We got a couple 20, 30-foot fir limbs, branches. So we did a little bit yesterday. This morning's better. Then I'm heading down here to get a shower here at the Club Sport.
Yeah. Are you warm in your house?
Yeah, we got two. Thanks for your concern, by the way. I really appreciate that. You would have, you know, could have invited me over and the dog to my wife. We would have come over. But you didn't have power either, did you?
Yeah, you'd be a popsicle, man. That's what you'd be at my house.
Well, thanks for the hotel room, by the way. Appreciate that. We're okay. We're at the two gas fireplaces. We're hanging in there out here in the country, so it's all good. But it's kind of hard though, because we hadn't had a, you know, practice with the high school kids since Wednesday. So we've been shut down all the high schools Thursday, Friday through the week, and even today all activities have been canceled. So, you know, we're trying to reboot this spring season here from football. You know, thanks to you and thousands of other calls from parents and coaches. Her Highness Governor Brown letting us play. So we're pretty excited about that next couple of weeks.
Yeah, help me out with that, because you talk to kids and you're around the kids and the players. What did it mean to them to get that, you know, vote of confidence? Hey, you're gonna get to play.
Well, what they say is one thing, but what I see is the other. So I've never in my life come to a 4 o'clock practice and there's 30 kids already there at 3:30. So that pretty much sums it up. All across the state, everywhere. You know, I don't care if we're at Cleveland where there's 30 kids out, or you're at, you know, Lake Ridge with 90, or Tualatin with 110 kids, or Grant with 80, or Lincoln with 40. You know, to see all 30 kids already out there on the field at 3:15, 3:30 tells you so much what it means to them.
I love that. And you get to look them in the eyes, and you get to see the fact that they're there and they're excited about being out there. And then, of course, a snowstorm comes. It's like we've had wildfires. We've had a pandemic.
Yeah.
There comes ice.
In the summer, 105 degrees. We've got smoke, fire. But it's still, yeah, you're right about this, the respect and the excitement in their eyes. These are, again, we got a reminder about these 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. So these aren't, you know, college 20, 21-year-olds that are transfer portals and going to go here and going to go there, and I don't like my scholarship. And I'm like, these are 14, 15, 16-year-old kids that are just developing, and, man, they've been, you know, in a house or in a room and on a laptop or a screen, you know, 16, 17 hours a day. It's killing them in three-dimensional ways. So we're trying to deal with the physical, the mental, and the spiritual all at one time, and they love it. They're excited. They're engaged. And just the respect level, John, I've never seen the respect. They're so glad adults are here, and adults, they can't just see you on some laptop screen. You're physically there. Of course, 6 feet away, but we're physically there. And that's it just brings me joy when these kids show up and can't wait to work out, can't wait to play. I think we might get 5 or 6 games in if we get back on the field and start practicing. That's going to be kind of cool here in March, having football on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights.
Help me out with something, because I talked to a lot of kids who, before the announcement was made, were saying they were concerned that colleges weren't going to get a chance to see them. Is that a real thing, or do the colleges know where the players are?
Okay, so you're talking about, what, 2-3% of high schools, you know, student athletes. Come on, let's be realistic. Those are 3 or 4% of high school kids that are maybe ranked a 3-star or a 4-star. I don't even know how they all do that. Drives me. That's a whole different conversation you and I can have, who rates them. But the other 97% just want to be active, just want to get out. I mean, they love football, they love track, they love lacrosse, they love wrestling. So we're allowed, this is season 2, so your fall sports are beginning now. So your volleyball, hopefully the girls can get in the gym. You know, she will allow that, the governor will allow that, so they can play volleyball. Cross country's going, they're out there doing track and field. So, you know, I'm helping out with Coach Bill Smith at Cleveland. We've got 34, 35 kids, and 97% of them can care a hoot about college. They're just, we might have one or two of them, John, that might go to a Portland State or maybe a Western Oregon, but the rest of them, man, just, they're looking forward to strapping it up and playing. They got to remember, everybody, this is games. You don't work at it, you play at it. So we're going to teach these kids to play. Just have some fun and play and enjoy. And a lot of these guys, John, this is their senior year. This is it. You know, people forget, they're not coming back this fall. This is all they've got. And we've got 9 of those kids that this is the last hurrah for them athletically.
Neil Lomax with us, 2-time Pro Bowler in the NFL, College Football Hall of Fame, Portland State great. Let's talk about the making of a quarterback. Like, you know, it feels like things have changed dramatically, but when you look at it, you were there, you walked the walk, you became an NFL quarterback, you realized a dream. Is it a different process in sort of growing and building a quarterback now than it was when you were a kid?
Absolutely, yeah. No question about that, because it's become the social media in the last 10, 15 years have made it so – everybody's so aware and so apparent of ranking high school kids. And I started this, John, when you and I were talking 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when the Nike Combine started happening. And then we had the Nike Elite 11. I worked with Trent Dilfer way back in the day. And then also on campus, we had the opening. You know, Nike brought all those kids to the opening, which was – so they're so exposed, and it's so national and all these camps. And then if you have parents that are affluent enough to have the funds to send their kid to these camps, these training camps, these even quarterback-only camps, you got a big step ahead. Now – I'm still in the school. I'm the old school guy. I still believe you've got God-given talents. You can do all that kind of stuff, all that camps you want, but if you don't have the God-given talents of how to really throw the ball, the athletic ability, you're 50% behind the curve. You got to have God-given talents, and that's my story is that way. I was fifth string quarterback at Portland State. I wasn't developed yet. And things had to fall in line. Fate has to come in. God ordained things have to come in. I mean, that's just the way it is. And ask all these kids that go, they're five stars, they go to Oregon, USC in a year or two. They don't make it there, so they're transfer. And that's just the world we're living in right now.
You know, I can look back at your time, and you had the fortune of coming into contact with Mouse Davis. What did he do for you that you look back and go, gosh, if I had never met him, never played for him, what wouldn't you have had?
Several things. I think number one, just the mental competency. I was always kind of a cocky kid, but, you know, because I could throw it and sling it and play baseball, and I did everything a little better than everybody else did in my little neighborhood or my little world in our community. But then you get to Portland State, and everybody's good. Those four guys ahead of me are pretty damn good. But he instilled just the confidence. You can do it. You can do it. Keep coming. And work my feet. I think the footwork was huge for me. Huge. Every day, hours a day, working on my footwork, how to sprint left, how to sprint right. Because we threw left and threw right back in those days. Run and shoot, we'd sprint right and sprint left. We were not in shotgun. We were under the center. So I had to throw the ball in the run. And that's the hardest thing to do. Throwing the ball stationary with a little shuffle is easy. So just the confidence and footwork is what Mouse got to me, John. And then just and then all of a sudden, okay, how do I beat out? I beat out number four, number three, and number two and number one get hurt within, what, 4 or 5 weeks? So you can't tell me there's no fate. There's no God's ordained plan for you. I mean, come on. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look back at sort of how things come together. I think all people kind of look back and go, you know, look at the people who – it's not just the athlete out there on the field, is it?
No, you can't go back and all these Heisman Trophy winners all the way down the last 20 years. What I wait for on their speech or whoever they go, number one pro like Justin Herbert was a great example. We kind of dissected his rise, John. His first 3 or 4 minutes in every conversation is thanking coaches, thanking his teammates, thanking his parents. And that's just star, give the five star right there. That's what it's all. He understands. It wasn't just me. It was everybody at Sheldon High School, everybody in Pop Warner, his parents, and then all the coaching staff at Oregon that got him to where he is. Because, look, he has a great year, right? Great year, and they fire the coach. Lynn's gone. This guy's gone. So now he's got to deal with it again. I mean, like I went through. I went through four different offensive coordinators in 10 years. I mean, every 2 years you got a different coach, different coordinator. That's just the business there. So I appreciate guys like Justin, those guys who understand where they came from, and they thank the people. You can't say thank you. You can't be gracious and grateful enough.
Neil Lomax with us, two-time Pro Bowler in the NFL. The portal is interesting to me. Tyler Shuck at Oregon. It was clear in the Fiesta Bowl as they started dabbling around with the backup that, you know, the coaching staff not totally on board with him. I don't know that he's a great fit even in Joe Moorhead's offense. You mentioned the coaches that come and go. The portal is now available. Do you feel like the portal's a good thing? Or does it sort of encourage kids maybe to jump ship a little too early?
Yeah, you know, you got to ask each individual student athlete. I still hope their bottom line goal is at least to graduate 4 years, 5 years to get a degree because, you know, only 4 or 5% of them will really play in the pros. You know, you take all the quarterbacks that are starting in every NCAA Division I, Division II, Division III, and you got, I think the statistics are, John, like 4.8%. will actually go play pro. So I hope they get their degree. But, you know, I guess if I went to saw Mouse, we had this back in those days, and I'm fifth string my sophomore year and fifth string my junior year, you think there's kind of a message there? So maybe I go, maybe it's not the right fit for me at Portland State, and I would have probably jumped on it too to go play at a smaller school where I can play. I don't know what Tyler's going to do. I don't know while he's there, but I think you got to go to each individual, and I would walk into the head coach and say, hey, where am I at? Now, what do you guys see? Where do you see me at? If you're saying I'm number two, then I got a chance. Number three, number four, I think I'm better than that. I might go to a smaller division, double A school or let him play.
Yeah, and Tyler Shuck has graduated in 3 years. He has 2 degrees, and he'll be a grad transfer. Because of the pandemic, he's going to have 3 years of eligibility.
Wow.
It's going to be like 30 years old.
But give him some kudos and credit for graduating that early. I mean, the boy, The boy's going to class. He's passing with honors. He's getting 2 degrees. I mean, so right there, I give those kind of guys, you got green light, son. You can do what you want to do. You came to Oregon. You got your degrees. You want to play some ball. Don't look down upon the big sky. Don't look down upon the West Coast, maybe the Mountain West. If you want to play, there's probably schools out there that fit you in right away to be the starter. Don't just think you have to go to Oregon, USC, you know, Florida, Alabama to be, quote, on ESPN and make it to the pros. Again, I'm a huge example of that. If you're good enough, I always tell everybody, if you're good enough, I don't care Western Oregon, Azusa Pacific, Linfield, or Portland State, they will find you.
I look back, Lake Oswego High School for you. Did you want to go to Oregon, Oregon State, or how did you end up at Portland State?
Yeah, everybody in those days, those were the two schools. Back in the 70s and 80s, everybody wanted to go to Oregon, Oregon State. Your parents went there. Your friends were going there. You know, either you were wearing orange and black in the hallways, or you're wearing green and gold. Or if you're really a cool kid, you had like a UCLA shirt on, or Point Loma, or, you know, University of California, Santa Barbara. Ooh, that was kind of cool. But no, I had really no clue about staying around. I couldn't wait to get out of the house, so I didn't want to stay around Portland. But no one came calling until Mouse called my dad up. I never forget that, and said, "Hey, man, I got a spot for your kid if he wants it."
And you jumped at that.
Had no other choice. I don't think I jumped at it, John, but I wanted to play baseball too. So you remember Jack Dunn, right?
Yep.
Remember
yep.
that? Okay. So he was there. They had a really good program. Really good program. Baseball was pretty big at Portland and University of Portland and Portland State, 70s and 80s. Dale Murphy just kind of was gone from that Waco Electric, and they had some good teams. So he told me, "You come here and play baseball too." So that was a big reason why I went to Portland State.
Neil Lomax with us. All right, let's talk about, you know, obviously, you look at a young kid and you're projecting him, but what are you looking for? If you're a college, you're looking at high school kids, you know, what kind of traits are you looking for in a quarterback? You know, are you looking for a big, tall kid who can sling it? Are you looking for somebody who can use their feet? What's Neil Lomax looking for?
Yeah, those are the top two. And then three is pretty, are you dominating your opponent? Are you dominating? On film, do you stand out? So there's huddle now. So it's such a great, the HD quality of these, of the film and tape we get is incredible, John. So you really can tell, looking at defenses and offenses, how good the opponent is. So if you're dominating, I mean, you just are absolutely banging it, man. You are dropping dimes and you're looking good and your footwork, all of a sudden, you know, radar, and you're on the list. And I would put that kid on the list and look at 7, 8, 9 more if I'm a coordinator, assistant coach in a college, and start looking at those top 8 or 10 kids all year getting the huddle. So everybody's sending in their film and huddle into these colleges, into these schools, and that'll pop out. And if I really like a kid, John, I got to go meet him. So I got to go meet him, meet his parents, meet his grandma, his uncle, whoever he's living with. Go meet him, meet the home life. Get to know his story. I'd always want to know his story. How's he doing? Is he by himself? Who's he living with? What's the situation financially? I got to get to know the kid's story. So that's probably the third or fourth thing, is just personality and his mental and his soul.
I've been talking a lot to a friend about, you know, can you teach a kid resilience? Or is somebody born with resilience? What do you think about that?
Well, that goes back to kind of your question. If like a Tyler Shuck or some kid gets dropped to number 2 or 3, are you willing to stay and show me some resiliency or show me some dedication to fight your way back? Or are you a kid like, hell no, man, I should be the starter, I'm out of here. So, yeah, I got to get to know the story first of all, but that brings out that character. That brings out that resiliency. You know, football doesn't really build character. It's going to reveal it. It reveals it. It's going to reveal what kind of person you are. And all those things you talk about, those intangibles, those characteristics of resiliency, respect, that fight, that overused term called mental toughness. What really is that? Until you see it in his eyes in the weight room and how he comes back to practice, is he the kid that's there at 3:30? Or is he the kid that shows up at 3:55, 3:56 and, hey, practice starts at 4?
Do you think you could take a young kid? Like, you've got, you and your wife have raised kids. Like, could you instill the idea of resilience in a kid, or do you, how do you foster that as a parent?
Yeah, through high school, it's pretty easy because, you know, you're late for me to take you, you're walking. You know, we set the rules. It was a dictatorship. It's pretty easy in high school when you do live in a dictatorship. They have no vote. No, you're not going to get the car. No, you're not. I'm in charge. Mom's right there with us. And no, you don't set the rules. You don't tell me what you're going to eat. You don't tell me what you wear. And that's the high school situation. They control two things. High school kids really control two things: their attitude and their effort. And I wanted those out of all my kids. And Allie was one of the toughest ones. Our daughter, her playing basketball, oh, my God, her attitude and effort, off the charts.
Yeah.
So where did that come from? I think it came from watching the boys and watching myself work out and doing these things and treating them fairly. But then again, John, if you're not in the car, if practice starts at 6, we're going to leave at 6:10. I mean, 5:10, 5. You're not in the car. You're walking. You're getting your own ride. And you're going to explain that to the coach why you're late.
Neil Lomax, you're the best. Go cut down some trees. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, I gotta go get some chainsaw pants. Where do I get those? Can you find that out? Get to Adriana, Alabama, or wherever. Yeah. Give me some. I go to Cabell. Where do I get those?
Where do we get chainsaw pants?
Get
all right,
chainsaw pants. Those chaps. Because I'm gonna, John, I'm telling you, I'm so bad. I'm gonna drop this damn thing and cut my leg off.
Don't do that. Don't do that. It's fun to cut some things up, right? Like, help your neighbors, but we don't need any serious injuries here.
Hey, you're the best, JC.
All right, you are. Thanks, Neil. There's Neil Lomax. It's really interesting. I've been thinking a lot about resilience. We're talking about guts, grit, the ability for young kids to learn how to compete. I do think that there are some kids who just are more innately competitive, that will outwork others. But I do think parents, I think you out there who are raising kids, I think you play a huge role in sort of emphasizing hard work over smarts, beauty, luck. People always say good luck. I make a point because I've read stuff about this. I read all these books on raising confident daughters, how to raise your daughter. I read all these books because I'm like, if there's some secret out there, I want it. I've got three of them. I got to get through this. But one of the things I picked up is like a uniform message that parents give kids about, you know, something being about luck or good fortune versus hard work. Or often, especially in the case of young girls, people will compliment them on how they look or how they're dressed. And you don't mean any harm, but it over time, I really tried to talk to my kids about hard work. You know, kid comes and says, I got an A on a paper. Hey, I got an A, Dad, on this paper. That's great. You worked really hard on that. You were really grinding on that. That really paid off. Making it more about that than, oh, you're so smart. That's great that you're smart. Make it about hard work. Make it about resilience. See what happens. All right, Punch It Audio is coming up. Leave it here. Good stuff with Neil Lomax, former Portland State quarterback. He's out with the chainsaw. I heard chainsaws in our neighborhood. Power's still off at our house. And by some luck, I am still doing this show. I guess with the kindness of the good people at the Grand Hotel near Bridgeport Village, they have set me up with, along with the engineers, with all the equipment and everything that I need to do this radio show. And then, of course, I will trek back home afterwards to figure out what kind of chaos and hell has broke loose in my neighborhood. We haven't talked to you, Zach, about what you've seen. What's the last 48 hours been like for you?
Yeah, it's been all right, John. I was at the girlfriend's spot all weekend celebrating Valentine's Day, making dinner, doing all that kind of stuff. And yeah, that was great. Back at my spot in Raleigh Hills in that area, I believe we had some surges going on, but I don't think the power went out. And as far as where we were at all weekend for Valentine's Day, no power went out, just a couple surges, so things were good. I will say, on the way over here, there was a little bit of trouble in the back roads trying to get into my complex before I made my way over to the station. I did kind of get stuck, was spinning out a little bit. I had to park just a block down the street from my spot and drag all my stuff over to my apartment and then come back to my car and then get in and drive to work. And, you know, just had to take it slow. Downtown was a little tricky, but we found a spot.
Look, I said this last week. I like visiting the snow. I like going for like a day. I'm not a big skier. I'll go to the snow. I will do the tubing. I might even try snowboarding. Maybe the skiing thing just isn't for me. But I don't want to live in it and the hassle that comes with it. I've done that. And I'm looking around going, okay, it's nice that the storm came or whatever. But where I'm living, it's mostly about ice. Are you having troubles with ice where you're living?
Yeah, there's definitely ice, especially on those roads where the snow plows, you know, they can't really get to you. So that's kind of that's the worst part of it, though, is when the temperatures are below freezing and you don't really notice the ice underneath the snow covering. Yeah. That's where things can get a little tricky, especially even when you're walking on the street.
Man, I went out to try to put chains on my car and because I need them to get up the hill. Like I can't get out of my neighborhood without chains. And I went out to do that and I nearly ate it twice. You know, I felt like I was tempting fate. I finally got down on the ground and started to try to do the chains, put the chains on the car, and I was freezing. Like I literally could not like unclench my hands to do the chains. So I was like, man, this is not fun. Why, you know, what are we doing? What I keep saying that. What are we doing in this weather? But I'm glad people are pulling together. I like Neil Lomax out with his chainsaw, cutting things up, trying to help neighbors. I heard the sounds of chainsaws all throughout my neighborhood on Sunday morning as, you know, and then stuff was still coming down. Like there were trees. I would hear these awful sounds. I was like, what is that? I'd look across the street and the neighbor's trees come down or a big branch on it has come off. So be careful out there. If you're somebody, don't walk underneath things, especially the trees right now. You've got big chunks of ice falling out of trees as things begin to thaw out. What is our weather looking like? Are we supposed to get a reprieve here? Does anybody know? I haven't even glanced at the weather.
Yeah, it looks like it is supposed to warm up at least into the high 30s or low 40s, so the thaw will continue.
I'm seeing mid-40s by the end of the show today, so that's good. That's good. And then the torrential rain will come in on Thursday. We're supposed to get rain again, so there we go. I don't know about you guys, but I think I'm tough until it gets cold. And then I look around and I'm like, nope, man, this is not fun. So for people out there that are dealing with snow and ice, just be careful, go slow. Be mindful of the snow and the ice, especially that's up in trees and off the sides of buildings. I saw a big old piece of ice fall off a building this morning, and I was just lucky nobody was walking underneath it. And check on people and continue to do that thing, that neighborly thing. If you've got somebody who's elderly who's living in your neighborhood, not a bad idea to give them a phone call or to check on them, make sure they have everything that they need. Because I do think there are some people who will be more prone to being housebound or, you know, maybe can't get services. So I feel for those people who are in that predicament as well. All right. So we're going to play Punch It Audio coming up. For those of you who listen to the show via podcast, you're not getting this in real time, but if you're listening via podcast, you can always tweet at me at John Canzano BFT. And I love when I get I'll get people who start tweeting at me at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night about stuff that we said on this show at like 1 p.m. And I can tell you're a podcaster and I can tell you like you're somebody who's listening while you're riding your stationary bike or you're listening while you're going for a run or maybe you're listening on your drive. But I appreciate those of you out there who make this show part of your day, especially, the terrestrial radio listeners who listen on Fox Sports Eugene, 1050 a.m. in Eugene. I appreciate you out there, all the people in the Eugene area, and that signal 1050 a.m. is a powerhouse. Goes all the way to Salem. A lot of people in Corvallis will pick it up on 1050 a.m. as well. Of course, the listeners on 750 The Game in Portland and Salem and into Southern Washington, I appreciate you as well. And our listeners in Klamath Falls on 960 AM, the affiliate there. Shout out to all the listeners there. We've been getting a lot more calls from 960.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.